It is a Tuesday afternoon, and that means we are joined in studio by Lisa Roberson of the Chronicle-Telegram on our local beat with Lisa. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Hey, if you've got some old gold lying around, take it down to Jim and Bob Vandermark at Vandermark Jewelers, because not only do they sell gold, they also buy gold as well. Head on down to Vandermark Jewelers. You know where they're at. They're a staple in Elyria, right across from the hospital on Broad Street, a trusted name in jewelry. We were talking about a number of different things as Lisa walked into the studio, primarily sending happy thoughts and good vibes about flying, because she's got some trips coming up and the news coming down about that Southwest Airlines flight that had to land in Philadelphia, making an emergency landing, got us all to thinking about some horrible flight stories. But I'm going to send positive vibes your way. Let's talk about happy flights. You had a good happy flight the way back from Vegas recently,
yes,
right?
Yes, that was a good happy flight. I want to send positive happy vibes to everyone that's in the air right now. Everyone that's flying.
Yeah, no kidding. Yes. That's a rarity, what happened with that plane landing in Philadelphia. I've been on a number of planes in my life, and I've never dealt with anything like that.
Knock on wood. That benefits you to knock on wood.
Yes, there I'm you go. Knocking away.
Avoid the there superstition. Avoid the superstition. Well, sticking with the theme of happy thoughts, you wrote an article last week detailing Franco Gallo. He was going to be replacing Greg Ring as the new superintendent of the Educational Service Center of Lorain County. Now, we've had Franco Gallo on the show with us before.
You know he's a good guy.
We know he's a really good guy. We enjoyed having Franco on in our Nordson Corporation Champions of Education series. But for those that don't know Franco, what was it that really made him stand out and so appealing?
Well, they love the fact that he can just build all of his relationships across several different platforms. When you're talking about the ESC, this is a group that works with all of the districts in the county. You're talking about 14, 15 districts. And so you need people who could be, you know, can talk across those various platforms as well as reach out to the business community. And they like that about Franco.
Seemed like this was a fairly easy decision for them to make. I mean, obviously, when you're looking to replace someone like Greg Ring, I mean, it's going to take you a while to find someone, but it didn't seem like this was a tough decision for them to make.
No, it wasn't. And actually, it came really quickly for us. You know, Greg announced his retirement in February, and now we're April, and they've already picked it's going to be Franco.
And obviously, it leaves a bit of a void in the Keystone school system now, because now they need to replace Franco. Now, how long does that process take, and I mean, how soon are they expected to make a decision on that? I know this is still fairly fresh because, you know, the story came out late last week, but what kind of timeline is Keystone working with?
Well, Keystone just accepted Franco's resignation this week, so, you know, they're still going to begin to very, very early stages of how they want to start their superintendent search.
Sure. And Lisa, you mentioned Franco knows the businesses and everything, and obviously he was a superintendent of a pretty prestigious school there in the Keystone school system. Did he mention some of the things that may differ from his job at Keystone to what he's going to take on at the Educational Service Center?
Well, he wants to be able to help districts across the county. So the Educational Service Center has been working to get social workers in the districts to kind of help kids deal with some of the issues they're facing and to help the educators deal with the students that are facing these issues. And so the Educational Service Center was working on that process already. And so he really looks forward to being able to kind of get in there and really, you know, see if he can spread that out to as many districts as possible. Because as, you know, we know with bullying and, you know, children having other issues, having a social worker, have social worker access to schools is very important.
Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle Telegram is joining us here in studio as she does every Tuesday on our local beat with Lisa, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Let's stick with the positive vibes here. You know, you worked together with Bruce Bishop on a story that included a lot of videos, some drone footage as well of Cascade Park, giving us some updates on what's going on there. What's going to be new and exciting about the new Cascade Park, and when is all of this going to be available?
Well, one of the most important things we have to say about Cascade Park is, you know, while this seems timely with the weather we're having today, there will be sledding at Cascade Park for next year.
It might be
maybe this summer.
Maybe we'll sled there sooner than later.
The way this is gone.
And so the park has gone over a lot of renovations this year. A lot of it's been closed down. A lot of people have not been able to enjoy the park. But there's going to be a new playground with the Elyria Rotary Club putting in about an investment of a playground of over $350,000 that they're going to kind of be putting into this. It's going to have a water feature so kids can get wet and splash around. Not a pool, the splash pad water feature kind of thing. And it's going to be an inclusive playground. So any child can go to this playground regardless of their handicaps or disabilities. They can be able to enjoy the playground with any other children.
How much longer will it take for them to kind of add these renovations to it?
They're kind of hoping for a groundbreaking of towards the end of July. Okay. So we'll see them this summer.
Nice.
Did you mention was the Rotary Club, probably the Sunrise Rotary Club? Which one was it?
That's the Noon Rotary Club. They're celebrating their 100th year this year. They're actually going to be having a gala on Saturday at the Spencer Conference Center. So,
very cool stuff. Well, I want to go back to a story that I know we've discussed a ton here over the last few weeks, Elyria School's five-school plan. And from what it sounds like, things are looking a little bit better than they did a couple weeks back. It seems like they're at least kind of sort of on target with that budget number of $127 million. The district is looking at six key areas, though, in order to keep the project on budget. What are those six key areas?
Well, the thing is that they have to make sure, you know, you mentioned this budget of $127 million that the state says that's your max there, you know, unless you receive more local funding, which, you know, is probably never going to happen for this project, that's their cap based on what the local's going to give them and what the state's going to give them. So they have to figure out a way to come under budget. So they're thinking they can kind of reduce the size of the buildings, they can cut some of the spaces, they can make some of the spaces that were going to be, you know, one-purpose spaces, make them now multi-purpose spaces. They're going to be asking the city to, you know, go ahead and pass the legislation to cut the permit fees for them. And they're all, you know, just several different ways they want to see if they can cut this budget. And they're going to submit this plan back to the state in May. And as long as, you know, it's under budget, they're very confident that the state will sign off. They can't say this with 100% certainty yet until the state says it's a go, but they're very confident.
Are you surprised at all at how this has kind of turned the last few weeks? Because it feels like maybe even less than a month ago when we were discussing this, you know, a lot of residents were pretty angry at the idea that they were going to try and cut that number, I think, from five down to three schools because of the budget concerns. Are you surprised to see this turn the way it has the last few weeks?
I'm not surprised only from the standpoint from even Elyria City Government and Elyria City Schools. They've always kind of had this mantra of, you know, we'll give residents what they're willing to pay for. And residents in Elyria have told the Elyria Schools what they're willing to pay for when they pass this bond issue. And, you know, with residents being very vocal and kind of letting the district know what they want, the district seems, you know, over the years of me covering them, they're very responsive to the residents. So I'm not surprised they've made this turn because, you know, they've seen them be listening to residents and figure out what they want.
Do you know about how many students will attend the elementary schools that are being built?
I want to say about 4,500, maybe. There's about 6,600 in the entire district, if my math is correct.
There's
about 2,000 at the high school. So
Sure. You're
talking, you know, a large majority of the district will be covered in these schools.
And it's interesting, too, when you evaluate the costs. I mean, just doing some simple math here, if indeed $127 million is the budget that they're forced to use for a five-school plan, that's a lot. $25 million per school?
That is a lot.
That's a ton. And, I mean, you think about what could be built for $25 million, and, I mean, it's. I think when I break it down, I think about that kind of money. And, I mean, because you and I are so sports-oriented, I think of, like, ballparks and stadiums that are built for $25 million, and I think, holy cow, that's a lot of money to build a really cool structure. But with schools, it's a little bit different, and I think we hit on this earlier, especially with the state-of-the-art facilities they want to build. I mean, look, education's evolving. It's changing. It's not just sitting in a classroom for 7 hours a day anymore. There's so many other things they do with STEM and STEAM and things like that. I mean, that's a ton of money per school. But again, it's crazy how it's all changed.
And then you have to look in Elyria High. That's about a $70 million building
Wow. That's
sitting on Middle Avenue. It's a beautiful building with the Performing Arts Center and the gymnasiums and people in the dining hall. People are in there all the time, and the community really utilizes that space.
Yeah, they definitely do. And, I mean, I looked at those numbers, and it just blew me away that, you know, on the average anyways, you're looking at about $25 billion per school. Want to finish on this. You wrote something earlier today talking about the impact of former Councilman Eddie Mitchell Jr., who passed away recently. And I know there's a trickle-down effect. He had certainly a big impact on a lot of other council members as well. And just wanted to give you an opportunity to kind of expand on that and give us an idea as to what kind of impact he had.
Well, I was unfortunate to know Mr. Mitchell very well, but I know his wife, Donna Mitchell, well, he got on council she got on council in 2008, and that's about the time I started covering it, but I would always see him around in community events, and, you know, he was always very well-versed in what's happening in the city. Just because he was no longer on council doesn't mean he didn't know what was happening. And, you know, he was really into community the community aspects. He wanted to know what was happening with West Park because they lived around West Park. He wanted to know what was happening in the streets and the neighborhoods around that area. And he and his wife were very tuned into what's happening with the residents in their community.
Very cool stuff. Anything you have in the hopper that you're working on for the coming week? I feel like every time we ask you that, it's, you know, the food safety issue, but then a bunch of other things pop up to get in the way.
Yeah, that's the kind of the nature of the business. Every time I think I have something planned out, something else comes down my way. So I guess we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, we'll work with food safety for now and then just see what else comes up along the way.
Okay.
Awesome. Lisa, always a pleasure to have you here in studio. And next Tuesday, we're actually going to be at the Elyria Sunrise Rotary's Pizza Challenge and Nick Abraham Ford. So we'll have you there on Saturday.
Oh, for I will be there, definitely.
Right? There you go. See, last time Coquitos brought in all their goodies, I think you were a day late or I think you joined us. You're supposed to join us on via phone that day. Something happened, so you missed out on Coquitos. But
I get pizza.
But you get pizza. Yeah. So we'll make it up to you next week with some pizza.
Yeah, if I'm not incorrect, I believe you joined us for a taste of Elyria last year, too. Yeah, we're there tomorrow, so...
All right,
we'll be around.
We're making good. We're bringing you to cool places.
I like the cool places. Yeah. You know, I want to see the town, meet the people.
Well, I think we had you on a Quaker steak earlier, too, for our spotlight on Sheffield. So we spread the wealth a little bit.
Yes.
Where we can.
Anyone listening, we will travel.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Again, Lisa's appearances are brought to you weekly by Vandermark Jewelers. Again, if you're not just in the market for buying gold, maybe you've got some old gold lying around you'd like to sell, well, Vandermark Jewelers can do that for you as well. Make sure you visit Bob and Jim Vandermark at Vandermark Jewelers right across from the hospital on Broad Street, a trusted name in jewelry. That's Vandermark Jewelers.